Ryan drove us to church. Now that I have his attention, I will start into my lesson. What did you have for dinner on December 8th last year? Everybody needed dinner then, and since you got what you needed, you probably don't remember what it was. Even though it was probably good, you don't remember what your wife slaved at. Or maybe you took her out that day. It doesn't matter. You don't remember. Do you remember who spoke that day? Do you remember what their lesson was? Well, you came to church that day, and you partook the Lord's table, and you heard a lesson, and you got everything that you expected that you would get. So you really don't remember what you got, do you? You got what you expected. But what if you had missed that noon meal? Even though you don't remember what you did eat, you sure would have remembered that day if you hadn't gotten to eat. Let's pretend for a minute. Let's pretend that you got home from church that day, and you got out of your car and you started towards your house, and you live in a fairly rural area, whether you do or not, you do in this story. And you just get about halfway to the house, and here comes a neighbor's pit bull. And this pit bull went berserk and chased you up the tree in the front yard. And here you are, Sunday, time to eat, Sunday afternoon, and you're sitting in the front, the tree in your front yard, and you can't get down. And since you live in this rural area, there isn't anybody out there that's going to help you. And you know, Sundays, you usually sleep a little late, and it's all you can do to get to church on time, and you didn't bother eating breakfast that morning either. And you are hungry. You're sitting up there in that tree. Most of the afternoon goes by, and a female dog comes along, and the pit bull takes off. So you are able to get out. But you missed your meal. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I didn't get what I expected. Would you have such a sharp memory if it would have been the Lord's service that you had, the meal that the Lord had served up for you that day? If that would have been the meal you'd missed, would you have remembered that so much as missing that meal at noon, physically? What if I got up here right now and told you that I really didn't want to get a talk ready today and this is all I've got? Would you remember this day a little better than any of the other days that I've been up here? After all, why should I spend hours getting a lesson ready if a month from now you can't even remember what day I spoke or what I talked about? It's human nature, isn't it? We're all that way. I don't remember what I had to eat a month ago either. And I don't remember everything that was said up here in the lessons that were given. But it was something that I needed at the time, and if I hadn't have gotten it, it would have had an impact upon me. And if I stop right now, it would have had an impact on you as far as what you thought of me and what you thought of what you got out of the service today. And you know, Lowell, I'm a little ashamed of you. You know better than that. Did your parents ever say that to you? They probably did. Is there anybody in here that didn't have their parents ashamed of them at one time or another? We all want to act like a turtle and pull our head down inside our shell, because we knew we could have done better than that too. Have you ever been ashamed of something or someone? I'd hate to leave anybody out, and I know that Randy has. Randy's been ashamed of something. In case any of you didn't know, that's why I had to buy a new truck last fall. Randy was ashamed to ride in my old one. Whenever we had to take Randy to school in my old 71 Chevy that had a little bit of rust on it, well, all right, it had a lot of rust on it, he requested be let out a block away from the school so nobody would see him get out of that truck. He was ashamed of me, or my truck, I don't know, maybe both. The last lesson that I gave when I was up here was on honoring your father and mother. Have you ever been ashamed of somebody in your family? You ever been ashamed of your mom and dad? If you had any brothers or sisters, I know you're ashamed of them. That's the rule. Well, I'll tell you about one of my experiences. I've got a sister 1 year younger than me. She's not here, so I can talk about her and not have to hear about it later. But, you know, I resented her when I was going through school, all through junior high and high school. And I was convinced the only reason Mom and Dad had her was to spy on me while I was gone to school. There she was, every time out in the hallways, I'd see my sister. And I felt restricted on what I could do, because she'd go home and tell. I got to where I was kind of ashamed of her. I think brothers act that way some. You see, when I was in school, I had a little peer pressure. And there were times that she was probably a little more open about her religion than what I was when I was in high school. It would vary with who I was with. There were some friends I had that knew exactly about my church. Then there were other people that I really wasn't sure I wanted them to know about that. Might influence what they thought about me. And I can now say that I am ashamed of the way I conducted myself during that period. And I'm ashamed of the way that I treated my sister and tried to ignore her. I can regret it now, but I can't change it. It's part of my life. In my desire to wanting to please others, I had to probably offend some other people. But those things happen. And all I can do now is say that I'm sorry. I'm ashamed that it happened. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, has something maybe we should read along this line. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, because he cannot deny himself. You know, I think Cindy probably forgiven me for that. I hope she has. Verse 13 here, it talks about, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. I think she knew that I was trying to avoid her. I think that she knows I've matured a little bit since then too. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it tells us to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Part of life is making mistakes. But as this verse here tells us, if we study and learn what's expected of us and we're working at it, being a workman, there's going to be a lot fewer times we're ashamed of what we've done if we read the rules. Mark chapter 8 also has a statement on this. Mark chapter 8. Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. There's an old saying that what goes around comes around. And if we are ashamed of what our religion is when we are around certain people, let it be said that the Lord has reminded us that if we're ashamed of him, he also will be ashamed of us. I'm in a situation right now where I need everybody's prayers to help me with some decisions I got to make. I've worked at Anderson Erickson for 13 years, a little over that. And I've got a job that takes years to train on. It's a skilled labor position where there's millions of dollars of equipment that I have to learn how to work on. And I like most things about my job. But I don't like working every fifth Sunday. I stayed on nights 8 years instead of three because I didn't want to work every third Sunday when it was set up that way. And I now have a chance to take a truck job, which is totally different from what I'm used to doing. It's less pay, but there's no Sundays. And it's probably a job that I'd have to learn to like. And I got a meeting this week with the vice president of the company. They don't want me to leave maintenance, and I don't really want to either. But I don't want things to stay the way they are either. I don't like missing out on that meal once every fifth Sunday. And I'm not ashamed to tell them why I asked for that job. But I still don't know what to do. But you know, there is a time when we're supposed to be ashamed. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, tells us that. Second Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. When we make an error from what the Lord's will is, we are to be corrected of that error, that we might be ashamed of the stand that we had taken before. If we have done something that has brought reproach upon the church, then we should be ashamed of it, be willing to acknowledge it. If we've done something that's brought reproach upon the church by our deeds, something that we've done in error, we need to correct it. But is that the only way that we can bring reproach upon the church? by going out and stealing or something as this, committing a deed. I think the way that we bring reproach upon the church the most is our lack of deeds. The scriptures teach us that the omission of deeds is just as critical as doing things that we're not supposed to do. The same God that condemns evil doings condemns doing nothing also. He tells us to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. When someone leaves the church, did they leave without a word from you? Without a word of encouragement? Without a word of asking if, can I help? I am ashamed that I know of members that I could have helped here lately in this church. We've had those that are struggling with illness and those with spiritual burdens. And I haven't gone to see them. I haven't called them. I haven't showed them that I even care about them. So we all have our own burdens that we think are more than we can carry ourselves. And we really are no different than the person sitting further down in the pew. They have troubles too. The scriptures teach that he who does not take care of his own is worse than an infidel. Speaking about physical support of those within your own family. How is that any different from our spiritual family when you see a brother or sister that is struggling and needs somebody to help? And we do not offer them the things that they need. Have we taken care of our own? Or will people leave the church saying they don't care about their own? Nobody ever said anything to me. Do we have the commitment to be a strong people? Or are we ashamed of our relationship with God? When we're among our daily friends, is that a different conduct code we follow than it is on the weekends? I'll be a Christian if I can keep it quiet. Luke 11th chapter, verse 23 says, "He who is not with me, he who is not for me, is against me. He that gathereth not, he scatters." The lack of the deed in the positive side means that you have scattered the efforts of Christ. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, we are given the Old Testament examples of how the Israelites struggled with trying to follow what they were told and would wander back to what they wanted to do. And we are reminded that these things are here for us to learn from. In Galatians, the first chapter, in verse 6, Paul marvels that they were so soon removed from their first love. Second Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Once Paul was thrown in prison, he says not all people treated him the same anymore. In verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me because of my imprisonment. In verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. In Revelation, the second chapter, verse 4, one of the churches is given a correction. It says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 through 18. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We talked a minute ago about being ashamed of somebody in your family. You know, we have a spiritual family here. We have a father that we go to. You suppose he's ever ashamed of us? On your own kids, are you ever ashamed of your own kids? Do you ever give up on them? You may be disappointed in your own kids, but I think we're always still there. Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews 11:16 read, But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God is our Father. He may be disappointed. He may even be ashamed of us at times, but that doesn't mean that he abandons us. He is still there if we reach out. Titus, the second chapter, tells us to use good conduct and sound speech so that those that are around you that don't will be ashamed of their own conduct. Are you playing with time? Are you juggling it? I've got time. As Paul was told, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Come back at a more convenient season. In Revelation, the second chapter, verse 21, John speaks and says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. As we grow up and make our perceptions is what makes life tick. I remember being little and thinking that if I'd done something wrong, I would be caught. And when I got away with it the first time and looked around and I didn't see anybody, I couldn't believe it. I'd done something, I made a decision, I'd done something wrong, and I never got caught. The Lord doesn't strike us with lightning anymore. He's given us the opportunity to make choices. And with this new law that Christ presented to the world, the Lord gives us time, on occasion, to make repentance. Here in Revelation, this church was given an opportunity to repent of the fornication that was within it, and they did not. They ran out of time. I freely admit before you that I've made mistakes, that I have erred, and that I need to ask God for forgiveness of that, as well as you. That neither you nor God would be ashamed of me. Because we are all family. I wouldn't want anybody in the family to be ashamed, would you? I have this little quote here. It says, "Some people's religion is just like a wooden leg. There is neither life nor warmth found in that leg. Although it helps them hobble around, that leg never really becomes a part of them, but it has to be strapped on every morning because they're ashamed to leave it on." Think about your relationship with God. Is God ashamed of you? The only way God will be ashamed of you is if you are unwilling to say, "I was wrong. I'm sorry." See, God is family. Family takes care of family. God will take care of you if you'll let Him. Please look your own life over. Think what you mean to others. You're important. You're part of a family. We love you. Don't leave the family. Don't make God ashamed. You have an opportunity to correct anything by merely doing what we said. Admitting I was wrong and saying I'm sorry. You have that chance as we stand.